parts of southern Africa, such as South Africa, Lesotho, Eswatini, Zimbabwe, and Botswana. Veldt may refer to open prairies or to savannas. You may think of veldt in your own context, whether that be the prairies of the Midwestern USA, the hills of England, or the rocky ranges of Chihuahua, Mexico. I suspect that many readers will arrive here in search of the author's guidance on how to manage land and cattle, and might not be expecting what comes first, a look at man. To harness nature, we must align ourselves with it. Zeitzman not only puts forth a much-needed critique of man and his actions over the past century, but shares his personal stories as contra-example to the narratives that have dominated the ranching world. In approaching a new way of seeing and doing things, it is usually necessary to directly confront our misconceptions. Part 1 of this book offers useful points towards achieving that end. It is only through understanding ourselves and our role that we can achieve our goals. I will now summarize parts 2 and 3. Achieving the ranch goal of maximum sustainable profit per hectare depends on breeding and feeding cattle, and all grazing species for that matter, as the grazers that they are. Effort should be directed at raising cattle that are more efficient converters of forage, not on trying to make forage-reliant species into grain-efficient machines. Forces of nature created the animals that we have, and their genetic potential will be brought out through non-selective grazing and proper supplementation. Non-selective, time-controlled grazing, in which 80 to 95% of the mass of all grasses and forbs are utilized, thus pruning back plants to their crowns, is the process by which grasslands are improved in both plant vigor and in species composition. I cannot overemphasize the importance of this last point, as plant species diversity is promoted by time-controlled severe grazing events, whereas selective take-half-leave-half grazing is much more limited in improving species diversity, even leading to species narrowing in some circumstances. I have put these ideas to use in my sheep operation, and I attest to their merit. My work has not been without stumbling blocks, though, and it is crucial for ranchers to mind the nuances expressed within this book, as well as to keep learning and paying attention to the land underneath their feet. Non-selective, or quote-unquote, clear-cutting grazing is instructive for us as people who are considering change. By pruning down our old ideas, we make room for sunlight to shine upon the soil of our minds and allow room for new ideas to grow, to increase human flourishing and natural harmony. Thus, the circle of man, cattle, and veldt is complete. I wish you joy, patience, and the best of luck in your regenerative journey. Sincerely, Kerry Yates. Missouri, USA.
Introduction. I am one of those fortunate individuals who knew early in life exactly what they wanted to do. I felt predestined to finding practical solutions to improving the veldt and breeding veldt-productive cattle that, with a minimum assistance from man, could efficiently convert veldt into quality beef. Little did I know it would be a long journey of making mistakes before I understood enough about man, cattle, and veldt in order to make the relationship symbiotic. My ideas and the many questions I had were molded at an early age in accordance with my background. Being raised in a family where my father and his two brothers were running over 10,000 head of cattle on tropical sour veldt in Zimbabwe meant lengthy discussions concerning its use, such as breeds, veldt management, and nutrition. This was at a time when the scale was not in use, supplementary feed not commercially available, and weekly dipping in plunge dips compulsory by law. The result